Good morning, family. Definitely good to see so many out there. And before I forget, I got a note saying that a Mazda van has its lights on. Then it might be you. How do I know that? I know a van. But please cut your lights off, if you wouldn't mind. We got plenty of jumper cables here, I'm sure, but I know you don't want to go through that trouble. If you're visiting with us, please know you're an honored guest, and we're just so glad to you decided to be with us this morning. Well, we attempt to do Bible things in Bible ways. We definitely are so glad you came our way. And if we can do anything to help you along the way, let us know and we'll be happy to do it. And it is our obligation to give you a Bible answer for a Bible question. Also, keeping your prayers, I mentioned maybe Wednesday night, the family of Brother Tony Peek, who lost his mother. Now, they're funeralizing her Tuesday at 12 o'clock. At Clark Funeral Home in Kannapolis. So keep his family in your prayers as well. As Sister Sally, that was mentioned earlier. We had a chance to visit with her yesterday. She had another surgery, second surgery, Friday morning. So we got a chance to visit with her yesterday, and she's doing better. Hopefully, from what Lewis said, if everything goes well today, she's hopefully coming home tomorrow. And we know we still have some that are suffering from illness, so continue to keep them in your prayers as well as all those on our list as far as needing prayer, whether it be health or cancer or whatever else. My subject title this morning is The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. Turn with me to 2 Hezekiah. Y'all shouldn't be turning to 2 Hezekiah. There is no 2 Hezekiah. Just to get you on your toes. But really, my lesson is entitled The Curious Case of Simon the Sorcerer. Turn with me to Acts chapter 8. Benjamin Button was a movie that was seen, so I kind of keep you on your toes every now and then. The Curious Case of Simon the Sorcerer. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. We're going to begin at verse number 9 and read down through verse number 22. And we're going to make some applications, and then the lesson will be yours. Acts chapter 8, verses 9 through 22. And it reads as such. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him had they regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through the laying on the hands of apostles that the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven. The Curious Case of Simon the Sorcerer. God has two ways to pardon us of our sins. The first way is through baptism into the water grave of baptism. Christ lived, died, and was resurrected, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. Termed by many to be the gospel in its simplest form. But what does God require for us to access this law of pardon? We're going to talk about that for a little while, because in this particular passage of scriptures, you find out what we're not to do. You find out the purpose of baptism. You find out also about the miraculous gifts that were given at this point in time. But then you find a whole lot about this character named Simon the Sorcerer. You may say, well, this sounds like a funny creature. This sounds like a man who, doesn't have both his wheels on the road, so to speak. But think about it. Many of us at some point in time have tried to come to God by bewitchery and sorcery. Now, it may not be what we have termed bewitchery and sorcery, but my question is today, are you coming to God just for the gifts that he will provide? Are you coming to God in just a situation where life's getting a little hard? Is the reason you're here for God is because maybe you think he's going to make you a millionaire someday? Did you come to God just because of who he is, or because of it may make you a different person in society according to society's terms? All these things are answered here in this curious case of Simon the sorcerer. And again, as I said before, God's first law of pardon basically says that God has given us a way to rid ourselves of sin. Notice what happens in verses number 12 and 13. It says, but when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And then verse 13 says that Simon himself was baptized also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now, as you look at this particular verse, do you think he got baptized for the right reasons? Because it says he continued not thanking God, but he was wanting to know about the powers that these apostles had. Now, is there anything wrong with that in and of itself? No. But if that's the only reason that you come into God, let's dig a little bit further. Because, see, we see here that he went through the act of baptism, but at this point in time, he was not converted to Christ himself. Many folks today go through the act of baptism, but that conversion process is far from them. They speak godly things. They may occasionally act in godly ways, but deep down, God is truly not their God. And what I mean by that, they have not decided to forsake all else and follow him. Maybe they've decided that being a Christian thing is good. You got a good group. It's a good group of people. It's a natural, you know, society. It's a natural community group and all those things. And maybe you decided that, well, maybe it seems like those folks over there who call themselves Christians don't have any problems. So I'm going to become a Christian so that maybe I can get out this hole I'm in life. Now, is there anything wrong with that in and of itself? The answer is no. But if that's the only reason, maybe you've been guilty of bewitchery and sorcery. Because Simon, the sorcerer, seems like he had a good heart. But I want you to think about what we're going to read about in a minute, and maybe you'll change your mindset on that. In obedience to the gospel, we are required to attempt to live a sinless life, but it's impossible to do so, because the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So God, in his loving kindness towards us, says, you know what, Curtis, you're going to continue to mess up. I know you were baptized. I know you were in the water, but you're going to continue to fall short. This is how we ought to be thankful, and this is why we should be thankful for God's second law of pardon, which is the law of repentance. Now, we see this here. We see this law in action. We see this law in action even with Simon the sorcerer. He first believed, and he believed enough to at least be baptized, but he was not converted. The Bible tells us in verse number 21, it says his heart was not right with God. My question this morning is your heart right with God? And what does that mean? Does that mean that you're going to be perfect? I just said about 2 minutes ago that none of us can escape the problem of sin as long as we're in the flesh. But is your heart right with God? Is your mind, I'm not talking about the thing that beats in your chest, I'm talking about, is the heart of your mind right with God? Because see, that's what Simon, the source of problems, all originated from. His heart was never right with God. And we're going to talk about exactly what that means and what it should look like in a little bit later on. So let's look and find out who this character named Simon the sorcerer was. We just read that he was basically living among the Samaritans who had accepted and obeyed the gospel. And if you know anything about the Old Testament, the Samaritans were not always in good standing with the Hebrews or Israelites. Matter of fact, they called them all kind of derogatory names, so much so that Many of them, even looking at the example of Peter, in Galatians chapter 2, I believe, that mainly he tried to play the hypocrite and fellowship with the Israelites or about Hebrew Christians from one point in time and then separate themselves when they came around. So we see this. The Samaritans, they had been forgiven of their past sins. Simon the sorcerer also believed and was baptized and forgiven, but he sinned almost immediately after baptism. Now think about this for a moment. This resulted in Simon moving from a saved state to a perishing one. I wonder, do we really take sin seriously in our life? Do we really understand the penalty for sin? Sin is not something to be winked at. Sin is not something that we do to make us feel good. Can you really see the penalty and the cost of sin? We ought to be able to see it when we look at Christ on the cross, because it cost him his very life. And he died for our sins. But you see, I don't think Simon realized the gravity and the weight of sin in his life. So much so that he had laid aside the fact that he was baptized and was seeking God for other means. And it says, again, in verse number 21, as a result, his heart was not right with God. Simon had sinned by coveting the miracles of God. Now, ask yourself that question. Why did you come to God in the first place? Well, you know what? You look in the world today and you look on TV and these other religious organizations and they're preaching this prosperity gospel that's gotten folks' mind twisted up, and they say you sow a seed of $59 and 2 weeks later you'll have a check in your mailbox for $200. You look on TV and you have certain leaders saying, you know what? I got four Learjets. I just need another one because God wants me to have another one and y'all going to pay for it. Then you see another situation where this man lives in a mansion with 27 bathrooms and 7 bedrooms. I don't understand that. But then he has 7 Rolls Royces and all these other cars. And he says, you can have the same thing too. But how can I have the same thing when I'm giving all my money to you so you can have it? Now, many times in the world, we don't see this. And folks, again, have been bewitched and are under the spell of this particular sorcerer. That's exactly who Simon the sorcerer was. Let's go back and see what it says in verses 9 through 11. And it said this, but there was a certain man called Simon, which before time, in the same city, used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. These folks thought that this man had it going on in the name of God. He was bewitching them in sorcery and all these other things. But one thing about Simon was, and when he met Philip and all those apostles, he realized that his power wasn't real. So we had a wonderful class this morning in our young adult class talking about the sin of pride. Pride kept him from humbling himself and realizing that he was a fake. Pride keeps us from doing the same thing today. Do you realize, and are you real, is your heart right with God, or are you perpetrating a fraud? Think about that for a moment. And this is part of our self-examination. Am I real when it comes to my relationship with God? If it's just something nice to do because I got nothing else to do on Sunday mornings, is it something nice to do so maybe my conscience won't feel guilty? Is it something nice to do so that maybe I can have access to some of these miracles and things that other folks are talking about? This man was held in high regard. Verse 11 says, and to him they had regard because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. Now I want you to notice what it says here. Now it says he has the power of God, so at least initially, at least part of his message was about God. The God, because it's capitalized here. It's not a little g, it's capitalized as a g, basically pointing to or denoting the God that we all serve. And then it says, but he did it with bewitching and sorcery. When you think about bewitching, you know, we watched that, some of you grew up on that show Bewitched. You know, growing up to it. That was a very good show, a long-running show that many of us watched when we were younger. And you think about all the things that came through it and how things happened. And she was able to change folks' minds and change the situation around them and twinkle a little nose and make all these things happen. That happened in the movies and that happened in TV. But guess what? It happens today. Make sure that you're being taught God's word. Make sure that is not done by smoke and mirrors. If I wanted to, and if I had the desire, not here, because I know our brothers and sisters, I could have pulled up in a Rolls Royce. I could have a robe just gleaming down to the bits with glitter and everything else on it. Somebody, Grady, could have rolled out the red carpet for me while I walked down the aisle. He could have done that. And as soon as I finished my lesson, I could have walked right back down there, and nobody would have been high enough on God's totem pole to shake my hand. I could have walked out. I could have been like James Brown. As I walked down the aisle, Chad could have threw a cape on top of me. Because it happens. And then people are saying, truly, this is a man of God. We can have an audience of 10,000 people. And I could just preach all kind of curveballs about sin and say, you all right like you are? God doesn't care if you're living in sin. He's a loving God. But is that what it's about? Many folks who are in these arenas, we could have had a band up here. We could have had praise dancers up here. We could have had jazz in here. We could have had a basketball game and called it worship. We could have turned the Lord's Supper into a hot dog supper if we wanted to. And I guarantee you that parking lot would have been all the way down the road. But we're not in the business of bewitching sorcery. We're about doing the Lord's business. But see, that was Simon's problem. But honestly, on an individual basis, have you been bewitched? And are you under the power of sorcery, of Satan and sin? Because Satan will tell you that you're all right. Satan will tell you there's nothing wrong with what you're doing and how you're living. Satan will tell you all these things. And then as we talked about in a wonderful class this morning, he'll puff you up with pride so that you can't see the error of it even more. So much so that you'll justify your actions and your disobedience. You'll be able to go to bed and sleep good at night, as some folks say, with a clear conscience. And you'll begin to soon think that, you know what, my conscience is clear, so surely God accepts it. But maybe you're in the power of bewitchery and sorcery. The truth is that we sin, that we will sin even after becoming Christians. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 says that. If we sin after becoming Christians, will those sins cause us to be lost if they're not removed from us? I think you and I know the answer. Then how can we possibly, because this is the next question most asked, how can we possibly live a righteous life in Christ? The answer is by understanding and applying the twofold process of God's laws of pardon. The second law of pardon includes this. We here are really able to see the love of God for all of mankind. God is giving us a way to deal with sin both before and after being added to the body of Christ. But my question is your heart right with God? And what I mean by that is, if your heart is right with God, you and I will understand and be willing and readily willing to do something about sin in our lives. We won't excuse it. We won't explain it away. Because we understand what it costs God. We understand what it can cost us. Sooner or later, we're going to have to stop playing games with our lives. And notice I say playing games. Just like the game of bewitchery and sorcery. You know, if I wanted to, I could throw a smoke bomb in here and y'all think the spirits are rising out of the ground. And many places that could happen if I wanted to do it. Matter of fact, I've seen them at football games. I could just have smoke filling the building. I could have, you know, we have the ability with technology to even portray and project things like holograms. I could set it off up in here if I wanted to. And everybody leave here feeling good. But then you under the spell of bewitchery and sorcery. That's not what it's about. But see, that's why we're learning something from the curious case of Simon the sorcerer. Simon had sinned by coveting the miracles of God. The apostles responded as such. You perish. You have no right, no part or lot in this matter. Your heart is not right. And you have committed this wickedness. And then it says this. You are in a gall of bitterness or wickedness. Now, looking at it on the surface, Simon the sorcerer wasn't bitter. I'm pretty sure he came to the apostles with a smile on his face like, give me some of that power y'all got. And I'm putting it in everyday terms. Give me some of that power y'all got. I see you laying hands on folks. Look, man, I got a following. I can increase your contribution. I can cause us to build a new building. Just give it to me. I can work miracles with you. I don't know what you're doing with it. Because I can work this thing and really, really blow it up, so to speak. But notice their response. Verse 20 says this, but Peter said unto him, thy money pass with thee. Now I wonder, in our world today, the folks realize that's what's going to happen. All these folks who are making merchandise of the gospel, do they understand that their money is going to perish with them? Do they understand that what they're doing in the name of God, if it's not according to his word, it is of nil and no effect? Do they understand that they are in the business of bewitching people with sorcery? I wonder if they understand that. I wonder, and it's sad to say this, many of the once strong and sound churches of Christ have gotten into this mess. And it's caused folks to stray away and want to be like nations around them. Some places you go into who wear the Lord's name on the church or outside the church, it looks nothing like the New Testament church. Somebody has gotten into the business of bewitching and sorcery. It ought not be in the Lord's church. Even though we start with the clean slate at baptism, we still sin. Why? Because we're still in the flesh. And Satan is still trying to devour our souls. So let's talk about this twofold process and how we access it. First way we access it is by our own sincere repentance. Acts 8, 20 and 23. We get the picture here that he was talking about it and pointing it out. We get the picture here that Simon was hit right between his eyes. There was no sugarcoating it. He says this. Now, Peter could have been like, you know what? Here's a man in the community, and, you know, we need him on our side because he has a lot of influence. That's not what he did. That's not what he said. He says this. Thy money pass with thee because thou thought the gift of God be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right with God. And he's right between the eyes with it. Sometimes the best thing that happens with us is God's word, and maybe some godly person hits us right between the eyes and confronts us with sin. I don't know about you, but there have been some times in my life, and I've gone back to thank these folks that love me enough to tell me the truth. Even though it hurt, even though I was mad, but you guess what? I got over it, and I got the message out of it. And I try my best to go back and thank folks like that in my life. He was told his heart was not right. He was also told to pray. He was never told, again, to be baptized again because he had access already to the second law of pardon. He was told to repent. Christians are required to ask God to forgive them of their sins continually. But guess what? It requires the right heart and attitude with God. True repentance consists of the following. An acceptance, first of all, that we cause sorrow to God by our transgressions. A mindset to turn from your sins with God's help and walk with him. And also a mindset to overcome the sin, even if we sin and stumble again in the future. At the point in time when we ask God to forgive us, that should be our mindset. But your heart's got to be right for that to take place. The statement, a mindset to overcome the sin, if we sin and stumble again, is the key to helping us walk in the light as he is in the light. How in the world can we sin and walk in the light? This is how we do it. We must continually seek to rid our spiritual gardens of the weeds of sin. But just like earthly gardens, there are some roots and sprouts that we sometimes overlook. Many of us have good fruit growing, but our garden is full of spiritual crabgrass. Got to get it out. Because what happens with weeds, they soon overtake the fertile plants in our spiritual gardens. I don't know about you. I just second year planting a raised garden, and first year ain't have any weeds. I was like, I got this thing licked. I must have done something right. I was out there yesterday, and I was pulling more weeds than produce. I said, you know, I got it right. I put what they asked me to put down first, but thank the nature of weeds. Any kind of seed that gets in there, it's going to sprout. And Lord, have mercy. I don't know how many worms got in there, because when I put that dirt in there, there were no worms in that dirt, I don't think. So even they got in there somehow. But you got to be on mind of that. Second thing we must do is have a mindset to walk in the light. God knew that man would stumble and forever with sin and struggle with sin. He knew that we needed another law to help after obeying the gospel. This is why it's important to understand this law. That's the only hope you and I have. We fall short, we sin. But if we truly meet God's conditions for the second law of pardon, we can truly live a righteous life and walk with God. So what does walking in the light mean? Somebody may ask that. First, it means accessing the light of God through obedience to his word. It means that we are headed in the right direction. It means that we are living with God instead of Satan. It means that we are walking away from sin and walking towards righteousness. It means that if we are attempting to learn, it means that we are attempting to learn more about God's word and not just learn it, but to apply it to our daily lives. What else does walking in the light mean? It means that even when we sin at various times, our initial, original purpose was not to sin. Sound confusing? Not really. Think about stumbling and leaping as an example. Stumbling is defined as an unintentional imbalance due to objects not seen or seeing and underestimating the object. Leaping means I meant to jump. I meant to do it. We sin in one of those two ways. The advice that Simon received from the apostle still applies to us today. Our mindset must change towards sin. When our mindset changes, it will open up the doors of asking for forgiveness of sin from a heart of godly sorrow, benefiting from this change of mindset by walking in the light of God, allowing Christ to cleanse us from all sins that we may have committed, and even sometimes that we are not able to number one by one. When you read that scripture in John, 1 John, it says, you walk in the light as he is in the light. And then it says this, then the blood of Christ cleanseth us. Oh, my goodness, God is continuing to clean up our mess. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't have a mindset to do anything with this. But if anybody tell you they can commit and name every sin they committed from this time yesterday, they lying and the truth ain't in them. You and I don't have the ability to do that because we've seen it in word, thought, or deed. I don't know how many times I seen before I got to the building, but I tried to make sure I got it right. I think I did good. I got up, ate my breakfast, brushed my teeth, took my bath, got dressed. But you see, car got in front of me going 45 miles an hour. So I can't tell you. That my buddy is back there. I can't tell you all my thoughts was good and wholesome about that person driving the car. I can't tell you how I thought that they intentionally got in my way and slowed me now from getting in church. I can't tell you that my mind didn't say they knew what time I was getting on the road. I come this way every Sunday. And by golly, they ought to stay out my way. I know I'll get some amens on that. So we all sin and fall short of glory. But I'm also trying to make sure I'm not guilty of the sin of Simon the sorcerer who played games with God. Church, I don't know about you in closing. Time is running short on this side of living. Nobody's promised tomorrow. As I say before and I say again, they make 2-foot caskets as well as they make 6-foot. It seems like every day we turn on the news or listen to something, there's some mass shooting. Innocent people down. There was one last night up in Philadelphia, my original hometown. People killed and shot. For what? We just had the situation we're in. We don't know when we're going to leave here. So maybe we can learn something from this curious case of Simon the Sorcerer and truly examine our hearts. Is our heart right with God? Do we have a heart to serve him? Is sin as serious to us as it is to God? Are we still winking at it in our lives? Do we excuse and find excuses? And I say excuses, that's what I say about excuses. Y'all know what I say about them? Excuses are this. They're just lies dressed up in nice clothes. We know what we can do, and we know we can do better. The time has come for us to stop making excuses. The time has come for us to serve God with a sincere heart. Now, we may have to do the same thing that Simon was told by Peter. Repent. Verse 23 through 25 reads as such. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which have spoken come upon me. Now my first question is, why didn't Simon pray for himself? Now we're to pray for one another. If that's the first time you ask for repentance of your sin, it may be a little late. Verse 25 says this, And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Now the Bible doesn't mention anything else, I don't think. I don't know the whole Bible, but I try my best to know as much as possible. It doesn't mention anything else about Simon the sorcerer. So we don't know if he took Peter up on his advice. We don't know that. I got the feeling that maybe he might not have, because he should have realized that it was his responsibility to go to God. And it's great to pray for one another, and we're required to do that in certain situations. But sin is so rampant in our lives, it's the only time you're waiting to repent of your sins is when we come together. It might be a little too late. The only time you're thinking about serving God and keeping his word is just on Sundays and maybe Wednesdays. That may be a little too late. The only time you're thinking about God is when your conscience is bothered a little bit. That may be a little too late. The only time you're concerned about sin is when you got some consequences and you're in a hole that you can't get out of. That may be a little too late. Don't be bewitched and sorcered by Satan, because he's in that business. He's the leader of it. He will tell you things like, you're all right. He will tell you things like this. Well, you know what? You just like everybody else. Everybody else in the same boat. Nobody else is better than you. And I understand all those things, but what they got to do with you? I'm going back to Simon the sorcerer. Peter and John told him what he must do, and the first thing he says is, y'all pray for me. Now, I understand those things, and we pray for one another, but we must first go to God ourselves individually and prostrate ourselves before the throne of God and admit our own sins. That must happen first. For this curious case of Simon the sorcerer, maybe we learn a lesson out of it. What must we do to be saved? Let's not kid ourselves. Everywhere in Scripture we see this pattern. We just saw it in Acts chapter 8, where they heard the word, they believed, and were baptized. In that order. They heard, they believed. Evidently, with this belief, I'm pretty sure, looking at all the other Scriptures to back this up, they repented of their sins. Acts chapter 8, a little bit later on, we see that the Ethiopian eunuch confessed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and they were baptized for their sins. That's what we are required to do. Don't explain it away. But guess what? If you've been baptized and obeyed that form of doctrine which is able to save our souls, then maybe you're not allowing the second law of pardon to allow you to walk in the light. And that is repentance of your sins. We need it. Because if not, then that is evidence and proof that our heart may not be right with God. So if you have one desire or the other, put on Christ in baptism and request special prayer. We ask you to please come forward as we sing a verse of...